in the world, the most thankful people in the world are those who understand they've been forgiven much. That song right there, and the energy and the joy and the power and the make you want to dance around the room. You know, see Liam and Paul bopping up there like this with their heads, like, you know what? I love it. That's the joy of the Lord, right? And that comes from acknowledging God's great forgiveness in our life. And if you I tell you what, the happiest people are the people who've been forgiven much. You know, some of the nice, clean people in the church that never did a whole lot wrong, they're glad to be there, but they're not as happy as the people that blew it big time, I think. I mean, maybe that's not true, but I know for me, when I relate to the forgiveness of God, I get a big smile and a lot of joy comes. You know. All right, so Psalm 137. Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon. This is really an intriguing psalm. Psalm 137. Okay? By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept, when we remembered Zion. This is the Jews being taken into the Babylonian captivity. Okay? They've been literally invaded and they're being taken captive. And it says, we sat down, yea, and wept, when we remembered Zion. We remembered our great home, our city. Look at verse 2. We hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it. We hung up our harps. You know, I remember asked a guy, he was a guitarist that I knew for many years. I said, are you still playing? He said, nah, I hung that up. You know, he hung up his guitar. The Jews, they hung up their harps. What a sad picture that is. They hung up their harps in the willow trees. Willow trees are beautiful, but they look a little sad if you got harps hanging on them. And the context here, they're a little sad, and it says, for there were those who carried us away captive, asked us of a song, and those who plundered us requested mirth, saying, sing us one of those songs of Zion. Maybe they were mocking them. Maybe they were taunting them. How shall we sing the song of the Lord in a foreign land? Now, I want to say tonight that Satan has been trying to silence the music of God's people. I'm going to say that again, and I want you to write that in the front of your Bible or somewhere where you'll never erase it. Satan is still trying to silence the music of God's people. Satan is still trying to silence the music of God's people. And I'm going to explain why tonight in Ezekiel chapter 28. The song, your song. You know, Satan would love to silence your song. My song to God. By the way, I don't maybe say this too much because it's kind of obvious, but it's fun to have my three amigos up here doing music with me. It is a lot of fun. I got to tell you, you should be jealous. Just saying. Do stuff like that with yours, and boy, I'll tell you, when you can do things like that with your family, that's a lot of fun. I have fun anyway. They may hate it. They may be here under compulsion. I really don't care. I'm enjoying it. Satan is going to try to silence your music. One of the best gifts that you can give your kids is an appreciation for music and especially an appreciation for God's music. Because I'll tell you, sometimes when the messages can't get through, when your words can't get through to them, somebody else will. Somebody else's words will, I'm telling you. I can tell you, Keith Green's words got through to me when no preaching could get through to me. When I got to Griffiths Air Force Base and decided maybe this God thing wasn't real, or God wasn't for me. You know, the songs of God are often the only message that your friend will hear at times. You know, By the way, Josh Wilson, I remember I heard, the first song I heard him do was Pushing Back the Dark. He's a phenomenal mandolin player. Pushing Back the Dark, and it was an album. And his story, I'll get sidetracked a little bit here. He had horrible, horrible anxiety attacks to the point where before a concert, he would be rolled up in a ball on the dressing room floor, sobbing before God before he went out on stage. He tells the story of that. And then he did this album called Pushing Back the Dark. It wasn't until he learned real resistance, to have the right resistance to those things. And it's a great story. If you ever get a chance to look it up, Josh Wilson, Pushing Back the Dark, the song behind the story is a great story. I gave that CD to several people one Christmas. And one of those people I gave it to is Pastor Wood. And he listened to the first couple songs, and I said, "Hey, did you like that album?" He said, "No." And I said, "Well, listen to the whole thing." And I gave him two songs, so he listened to him, and he said, "You know, that album's growing on me a little bit." I said, "Good." I was wondering if anything can grow on you. Pretty good. So Ezekiel chapter 28 says, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, thus says the Lord God, because your heart is lifted up and you say, I am God, I sit in the seat of gods, I sit in the midst of the seas, yet you are a man and not a god, though you set your heart as the heart of God." So this is about Satan. And that goes on at verse 12. It says, "Son of man, take up the lamentation of the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. Sardis, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold." And then it says here, "The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you in the day you were created." Those are musical references to Satan. He literally was made of music. And it says, "You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were the holy mountain of God, on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways in the day you were created till iniquity was found in you." Then it says, of course, "By the abundance of your trading," or trafficking, or slander, is the original word there, "you became filled with violence and you sinned, and I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God. And I destroyed you, a covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones." So you can see here, there were a few things from verses 12 to 15 that describe him. Number one, you were the seal of perfection, perfect. Full of wisdom. Two, wisdom. Three, beautiful. Four, you were covered. Five, you were musical. Perfect or perfected. Now listen carefully tonight. Perfected. He had wisdom. Beautiful. He was covered. And he was music. Now I want to tell you why Satan is trying to silence the music of God's people. It's because we make Satan jealous. We are his replacement before God. We are his replacement before God. And you make Satan outrageously jealous. Let's look at Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. You're perfect. You've been perfected. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:30 and 31. First Corinthians 1:30 and 31 says this. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. We've become wisdom and have wisdom. Psalm 45, verse 13. The royal daughter is all glorious within the palace. Her clothing is woven with gold. This is a picture of the saints, the daughters and the children of God. The king's daughters are glorious within the palace. We are absolutely beautiful to God. We are without spot before him, without blemish. In Psalm 91, verse 4, it says, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will take refuge. We're covered. And then Psalm 100. Enter into his gates, Jason read this earlier, with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Sing to the Lord a new song, my friends. You are God's music. And we have the music of God. We are Satan's replacement. Perfect, wisdom, beautiful, covered, and musical. And now he's on strike. And we're crossing his little picket line. And one day, God is going to completely silence his music. This the kind of music that you hear now that he is all about. Is it any wonder why some of the wickedness of music is really revealed? And some of the topics of music are so dark. And why some music has such darkness in and about it. Where do you think that comes from? At the same time, God made people to be musical. People are created with a musical ability. You know, you say, well, I don't have a musical ability. Oh, yes, you do. You absolutely do. Everyone can sing. I'll tell you what, when we were in Africa, you saw that very, very quickly. Everybody sings, and everybody sings loudly. Everybody sings with boldness, you know, because they're not drowned out by musical instruments. They're just singing. They are musical instruments. They use anything they can find. They'll beat on something. I knew one guy took four pieces of rope and made a bass drum. Made a bass out of it, and actually it didn't sound too bad. It was in Bagliga. I mean, it was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. They just make instruments. They'll do whatever they got to do. Find beat up guitars and figure out how to play them with three strings if they have to. They will play some instrument. They'll learn. Soren Kierkegaard said that the church could be likened to theaters and prompters and players and an audience, like a concert hall. But he said some people think musicians and choirs are the prompters. Ministers are the player, and they are the audience. He said, really, ministers and musicians are the prompters. The church is the players, and God is the audience. Isn't that good? God is the audience of the church service. You are not the audience. You are the players. We, tonight, we're prompting you. It's almost like a director. We're the director. You are the orchestra. You are the music of God. And He is the audience. Do you understand? Understand? You guys get it back there? The Bible talks about in Leviticus chapter 7 a thanksgiving offering. And no, it wasn't turkey. But in Leviticus chapter 7, verses 11 to 15, it says, the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings shall be offered to the Lord, and he offers it for a thanksgiving. Then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mixed with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, or cakes of blended flour mixed with oil. Beside the cakes, as his offering, he will offer, he shall offer leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering. And from it, he shall offer one cake from one offering and a heave offering to the Lord. It shall be that to the priest who sprinkles the blood of the peace offering, the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day it's offered. He shall not leave any to morning. No leftovers. Imagine that. So, there's a connection here between thanksgiving and peace. Thanksgiving and peace. Peace produces thanksgiving. Thanksgiving produces peace. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 say, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Ready? With thanksgiving. A lot of people miss this when they read this for anxiety. When they're very nervous about something, they go to this verse and say, be anxious for nothing. Okay, got to be anxious for nothing. Pray. I'm going to pray. Okay, you're missing one major component. What is it? Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. As Jason very beautifully cataloged many things to be thankful for. You know, I had somebody private message me today, and they said, why are you involved with politics? And blah, 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 blah. They got all jumped on me. I haven't heard from this person in 4 years. I said, so you don't think a pastor should be excited about unemployment? You don't think a pastor should be excited about a good economy? You don't think a pastor should be excited about lower taxes? We can't be excited about those things? By the way, many, many people would argue that for a large part, the American Revolution was started in the pulpits of the churches. Let that sink in a little bit. So, thanksgiving. I'm so thankful tonight for low unemployment. Why not? I'm thankful tonight that we have less people coming in our country illegally than there were last year. Did you realize that's happening? News won't cover it. You know, I'm thankful to God for that. So praise God for those kinds of things. And also, you know, the personal things, like I'm thankful for a nice home. I have an incredible family. I have an awesome spouse. My wife is amazing. I'm so thankful for those kind of things. Thinking about it today, how grateful to God I am for those things. But I'm also grateful that my neighbors live in a safe country. You know, I'm grateful that my neighbors, and when I say my neighbors, I mean my community. And I'm also grateful that I work for an organization in the community that has done more for our community than any other organization in our community. And I was thinking about what a privilege it is to be part of a church that's doing things in the community, cares about the community, and I happen to work for an organization that's very involved in the same community, along with other communities. That's great, I love it. I mean, you're involved with many good organizations too, I'm sure. So you're thankful to God. Aren't you thankful tonight about many things? That produces peace. That'll help you with your anxiety. That'll help you with the weight on your chest. Be thankful. And tell people you're thankful. It's one thing to have an attitude of being grateful and thankful. It's another thing to say, hey, thank you. You know, thank you. Lori, thank you for a tremendous year of administrating the church. Thank you. Katie, thank you for learning the guitar and making an effort up here. It's incredible. Debbie, thank you for all the work in these wraps you do and organizing these wraps with your husband. Joe, thank you for helping clean up the yard out here and to get these trees cleaned up and what you did with the willow tree and all the other stuff you do. Anne Marie, thank you for your work with the young ladies and for your playing piano and all you do in the church, right? Liam, thank God for you and your work back, what you do with your dad helping. And Ethan, same thing, helping with the cleanup. Every week these guys are here. Everybody else leaves, the Callahan boys and their father are still here. Every week. Making sure the buildings put back together in order and so forth. It's amazing, you know? Absolutely amazing. Who else is back there? Anybody else there? You know? Glenn, thank you for all you're doing right now with Habitat. Holy mackerel, you're basically running the organization with a hammer, you know. Tim Kent, thank you for the phone calls you make once in a while. You get a phone call from Tim just to say hi. It's terrific, you know. Maria, learning guitar, playing up here with leadership and the songs, starting the songs off. Come on, Maria. Who's the girl? Maria, say it with me. How do you solve a problem like Maria? You know? And Julia playing her instrument once in a while, not as much as I want her to. Singing, phenomenal. And helping your mom with nursery. We see this kind of stuff that people do. We see this stuff, you know? And for Justin, picking his stuff up off the floor between the rows when he's done with them. He cleans up after himself. Very nice. Jason has been a faithful, consistent deacon in our church and leading and helping with Sunday school when Menzel's not here. It's a lot of work, but he does it joyfully. Thank you, Jason. You know, Paul, thank you for playing the bongos up here and keeping me laughing when I need to laugh up here, you know. And for David back there, has been learning how to drum 2 years. Phenomenal progress as a drummer. I've never seen anything like it. Holds a tune. I'll tell you, there are guys that can play the drums. There are guys that can hold the speed and the cadence of a song. That usually takes 5-6 years to get. He's got it already. Our young people are like incredibly musically talented. It's amazing, you know. And for, you know, I could go through the whole thing. Andy with a missions conference planning. He's already working on missions conference. We already have a tentative schedule put together. Very tentative. But it's a tentative schedule already. Huh? We're going to surprise you with a phenomenal slate of teachers. We're going to have a great slate of people. It's going to be a lot of fun, you know. And for all the stuff with the soundboard and everything else, thank you. See, we just be thankful. thank people. Thank your boss. Thank your mom. And I want you to thank the most important person in the church right now, the one who holds it all together, the one who leads, and the person who picks the messages, the one who makes sure the pastor shows up on time. Karen Graziano. My wife, who has allowed me over the past 20-some-odd years to do what I do, I'll tell you what, you have no idea what she has to put up with. You have no clue. She'll never complain and tell you, but you have no idea what she has to deal with. So thankful to God. Don't you feel better being thankful? You know, does anyone want to thank someone in the room for something? Yeah. I'm thankful to everybody. Joe for counting them pop bottles and cans. Holy cow. That's right. Yeah. So there's a beautiful connection between peace and thanksgiving. And be anxious for nothing, but with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Don't forget thanksgiving. When you're dealing with anxiety, don't forget that component. That's the first thing that goes and the last thing that comes back. Isn't it? When you go through trouble, what's the first thing that goes? Your heart of thankfulness. What's the last thing you get back? Your heart of thankfulness. It's true. It's true. Isn't it, Paul? So there's a connection. It's number two, point number two. The unleavened and the leavened things were offered together. This is kind of a strange thing. But you know what this makes me think of? I don't know if this is a great interpretation of this. But it makes me think of the good stuff in my life and the not so good stuff. And the fact that all things work together for good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. We're not always thanking God for our circumstances, but that He is handling them. I think that's the unleavened and leaven in this offering. He wants the thanksgiving when both things are there, Tim. Both. Good and bad. Right? Because we can't always tell the difference either. We don't always know what's good and what's bad. What we think is bad is good. Sometimes what we think is good is not so good. Sometimes we think, oh, this is great, and it's incredible distraction, or it's a major, now it's a big deal that we got to, it's not good. It makes us proud. It can make us proud, right? So good things may not be so good. Bad things come our way. Well, this is bad. Well, maybe it's not so bad. Maybe you learn some things, right? Leaven, unleaven, together. Then the heave offering. The heave offering is involved. Part three, heave. It's heave is just what it sounds like, lifting. It's deliberate. They literally lifted up these things before God, a heave offering. Lord, this is yours. It's about possession. Everything I'm going through regarding me is you. So I'm going to lift up my eyes in Hebrews 12:1, and I'm going to lift up my lips in Hebrews 13:15. A sacrifice of praise. That's the deliberate heave offering. Kabish? Anybody got that? Lifting up these things has to be deliberate. The basis of the whole thing is mentioned. The basis of the offering. What made the offering acceptable? Blood. There still had to be blood involved. Our forgiveness is dependent upon it. Hebrews 9:22. Without the shedding of blood, Katie, there's no forgiveness of sins. Do you understand this? Hebrews 9:22. The indescribable gift in 2 Corinthians 9:15. And then, Leviticus and Hebrews are kind of related, you know, because they're the two books that talk about sacrifices and offerings more than anything. Leviticus 7:14, and from it he shall offer one cake from each offering as a heave offering. It shall belong to the priest who sprinkles it as a peace offering. It's all eaten the same day. It's fresh. It's all fresh. Eat fresh. So how do I give thanks? How do I do it? Well, deliberately, regularly, and genuinely. Three things. Deliberately, regularly, and genuinely. I put genuinely last because sometimes genuinely comes last. You know? I have thank you cards in my desk. I try to send them out, some out every week. Try to think of someone to say thank you to. Sometimes I'll sit at my desk for a couple minutes and think, God, who do I thank? And if my attitude is lousy, I'll say, I got nothing to say to anybody. Put the cards back in the drawer. But they come out again because it's a habit. It's a deliberate, it's a habit. You could add one more thing, habitually. Deliberate, well, that's regularly, right? So, you know, create these kind of habits and be thankful. Be thankful, right? First Chronicles, chapter 16. In the darkest places in your life, can I get you to look up here a sec? Think of this for a minute. In the darkest places and moments in your life, that's when you'll see the faintest light. Because sometimes the light, it's a faint light. It's not that it's not the right light or God's light, but it's a faint light. It's one that you can't see unless it's dark. There's a lot of that. There's a lot of those little lights, a lot of those little truths that you don't see until it gets dark. You can't see the stars of the sky until it's dark. There are certain lights you cannot see unless it's dark. And it's when you see those lights, that's the time to be thankful. To be thankful for the light. To be thankful for the truth. You know? God, I made a profound mistake. I did something incredibly stupid. And the Word of God comes, or the Holy Spirit comes and convicts you, or it's exposed, or whatever happens. And you say, light came on this. Thank you for the light. Thank you for that light, God. Thank you for the light. See? Or maybe you're in a dark place with a relationship or work, or you've been terribly slandered, or whatever the case may be. And you learn things in the Word of God through that. You thank God for the light. That's important, to be thankful for the light you receive in dark places. It's immensely important. So, 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 12, where the Ethiopians and the Lubim, not a huge army with many chariots and horsemen, yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered you from their hand. This is great, isn't it? Then it says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you'll have wars. This is a story, a treaty was broken. Asa didn't go to God first, and he ended up making a treaty with his, I can't remember who it was he made the treaty with. Yeah, I'm in 2 Chronicles. That's the verse I wanted you to look at. But you know, he says here that he was angry with the seer and put him in prison. Because you know what? When the light came, he didn't respond well. He got angry and attacked the messenger. See? That's the opposite of what God wants us to do. So anyway, Father, we thank you for this time tonight. We do pray that you bless the word of God to our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for the incredible stories in the word of God that teach us, the examples that you've given us in our lives. And we pray, Father, that we would give thanks and pray and testify and sing and talk about you and bring glory to your name and seek you and remember you in different times. And again, we love you and praise you for our church and for our family here. Bless our day tomorrow. We pray, Lord, that you would use that time to strengthen our bonds with each other. In Christ's name, amen. Little advice, by the way, if you want to spend less money on Christmas presents, talk about politics tomorrow.